In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders came up and said to him, Tell us, by what authority do you do these things? Or who is it that gave you this authority? Before Jesus tells of the parable that we hear in today's gospel, these wicked tenants, these chief priests and scribes and elders, came up to Jesus of the religious class to berate him. Effectively, they were asking him to show his papers, show your qualifications for the teaching and preaching that you are doing in the temple. Jesus refuses unless they answer him this riddle. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? With the question poised to humiliate or destroy them, they give a non-committal answer. We don't know. So Jesus refused to say by what authority he taught and by what authority he preached. And without skipping a beat, Jesus continues on in his teaching and his preaching with today's parable. It is a parable which addresses the poor estate of the religious class to properly teach and preach to the people entrusted to them. It is a parable that exposes the chief priests and the scribes with the elders as tenants unworthy of their sacred duties. The tenants are harsh masters, shameful charlatans, and brutish gatekeepers. They are opportunists of the worst kind. So when the owner of the vineyard's son arrives to set straight what his servants before could not, it's no surprise then when he ends up murdered. The tenants calculate with their malicious premeditation that doing this would guarantee them the vineyard for themselves. Often, and until Christ's coming, the father and owner of the vineyard would send prophets to Israel for repentance and for reconciliation. The parable notes the patience of the father, that he waited a long while until he gave way to the entrance of his heir, to Jesus, the beloved Son of God. We know this salvation history from its famous verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But the tenants, the teachers of Israel, didn't receive Jesus with the joy of such a message. Instead, they shuddered the Father's Son, wanting to prevent him from delivering this salvation message. So Jesus is famously met with many more types of questions and slander in order to keep him away from the vineyard. Eventually, when the tenants, who are more like squatters at this point, know that the son is at the door, they take the opportunity and seize upon him and murder him. They crucify Jesus and presume his death will seal their good fortune and their futures. But in the parable, Jesus dispels this terrible and irrational notion, noting that even though the heir is killed, the tenants will still be evicted. The owner will come and destroy them and give the vineyard, the care of souls, to others who are willing to serve God's people in truth, in teaching and preaching of God, restoring the people to the doctrines of God over the false doctrines of wicked tenants, chief priests, scribes, and elders of Israel, and all today who say they proclaim Christ, but do not. With a gasp, these wicked tenants realize Jesus is speaking directly about them, and they blurt out audibly, "Surely not, surely not." But it is surely so. And even the son who now describes himself as a stone that the builders rejected, he, Jesus, has become the cornerstone. The tenants, blinded by idolatry and greed, do not see that in killing the son, they have to contend with also now the Father. The Father placed in Jesus, in his Son, all the wrath of the world in order to save all the world, to save all of us, to save you and me. But in their rejecting and killing the Son, these same tenants rejected and killed their redemption. The gift of grace was surely theirs, but in unbelief they said, surely not. The stone that they rejected is the cornerstone of a new heaven and a new earth. In the vineyard of God's people, it is Jesus, risen from the dead, who is glorified and will come again. And he will judge the world by the fruit of his preaching and his teaching. Man is judged by the faith that takes hold of the promises of God, or unbelief that despises God. And so there will be the fruit-bearing trees and the barren trees, the repentant and the unrepentant, a vineyard whose cornerstone is Jesus, and a vineyard of gallow trees and weeping willows. The divide is heaven and hell. And all hearers must contend with the reality which Jesus preaches and teaches. Of course, there are those who wish to shut him up because they have more invested in the grave than in the life to come. So when we hear Jesus' parable today, what do we imagine? What do we consider for ourselves? When we hear Jesus' parable, the temptation is to look at our limbs and count the budding fruit that we see and presume our righteousness is found wherever we have rooted ourselves. So we count our jobs, our relationships, our connections, and of course, most of all, we count our good works. This is a grave mistake. This mistake is just as blind as the wicked tenants who could not see beyond themselves for security and salvation. Jesus elsewhere has taught us this: I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If all we see is ourselves, we have missed the vine who has grafted us into his body. We abide in Christ by grace. Apart from him, we can do nothing in the vineyard. And we are nothing but pruned branches awaiting the ash heap to be burned with unquenchable fire. So when we look to our limbs, instead of seeing ourselves and counting the budding fruit of faith that we presume is ours, let us look to the trunk that holds you in place and to the roots. The corpus of this tree is the crucified Christ, whose blood sets you free to bud with faith, yes, and love, yes, the love of God and neighbor, but it is on account of Christ and his righteousness. It is his good work in you that makes something of nothing. And the roots, they are the foundation that run deep into the void of this world's beginning, where God spoke over nothing and made something, in fact, everything. Everything that we want to be is found in the one who creates life and who creates a new heart in us. So in this parable, what we witness for our own self is the hallmarks of creation and recreation. They're written all over this parable, and they are for us a lifeline to see and not be blinded, to say this is most certainly true when others say surely not. In Jesus, you have the answer to the riddle that began this whole thing, that began all this controversy and paralyzed the wisdom of the wicked tenants. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Any good tree knows the answer to who waters them, to who baptizes them, and is responsible for their growth. From the vineyard of Eden to the vineyard of heaven's promised land, God's Son walks among us as the new tree of life. And Jesus has bore in you the fruit of faith and waters you still from the baptism he gave you when just a seedling, even older seedlings, latecomers to the faith, they also draw water from the well of God's salvation. In the vineyard of Jesus, forgiveness, flows freely for you. Even today, you, God's church, are reminded by Isaiah's prophecy. With joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, proclaim that his name is exalted. So rejoice and give thanks unto the Lord that his river of life flows freely among you. Give thanks, dear children of God. Salvation has come to the vineyard, flowing freely for you. And it is here to abide in you, and you are to abide in Christ forever and ever. Amen.